something that's really important is the consistency, ensuring that you're consistently holding people accountable for their actions. It is the most important job of your leader. Like, your leader has to hold their people accountable for their actions, and everybody else is watching. That's the thing. The one person that's acting up is not the person that's affected by the consequence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Shift Show, where my number one goal is to bring you the tools, ideas, and the latest science to help you change athletes' lives. My name is Dave Tilley, and we have one of the highly requested episodes from a lot of people in the Shift community. I was asking people, you know, what do you struggle with? What do you want to get help with? And by far and away, coaches and a lot of other parents also told me, you know, parent-coach relationships are super, super challenging. So a lot of coaches, I asked them, like, what do you guys struggle with? They were like, parents, getting through to parents, teaching parents these things. I wish they understood some of these ideas about having to go slow and realistic goals and how hard gymnastics is and their role and all this kind of stuff. And then a lot of parents too were just like, I wish the coaches would understand. I wish they would change their ideas. I wish they were more open-minded. So what I decided to do is I wanted to get together a panel of people who I think have a really great voice in this kind of realm. So we have Chelsea and Diana from the Routine Podcast. They were a very, very popular episode on parents prior, which got a crazy amount of downloads in the first week. But Chelsea was a Division II gymnast. She went up through club and then kind of went into the college scene. Diana obviously is involved too, Chelsea's mom. So they have a really great feedback loop about what they went through, what they would change, some of the problems they faced with coaches and what they wish coaches would understand. And then I also invited Eva Shute, who is another fan favorite on the podcast, who runs our gym and our program. We have four gyms in our network. She kind of oversees all of them, but we have kind of crawled through the trenches together from 8 years ago, trying to rebuild the culture, trying to handle some tough situations with parents and trying to really get to the root of some of these issues. And so she is an amazing voice to also have. Then I kind of can weigh in from the coaching side, but also from the medical side as well. So I think this is extremely important for everyone to hear. So I would love it if you guys could please screenshot this and toss it up on social media. Send it to every parent that you have in your gym. Send it to all your coaches, because there's something in here for everybody to really take on. We talk about, you know, the need to be patient with young gymnasts and not rush. We talk about how important communication is. We talk about kind of dealing with parents that are considered helicopter parents, who are maybe kind of coaching from the sidelines, but then also what coaches need to understand about what parents are going through and how challenging it is to have a young son or daughter at home who's frustrated with their gymnastics. We talk about setting realistic goals and making sure everyone's goals are the same, so that, you know, the parent doesn't want one thing and the coach doesn't want another and the athlete feels like they're in a tug of war between the two. But then we also dive into some really, really, elephant in the room topics around, like, what do you do when a gym's culture is, you know, kind of being stained by one parent who's really, really maybe overstepping their boundaries, or one coach who is acting in an immoral way or is not in line with new ideas about how we kind of work in gymnastics, or a gymnast who is maybe, you know, a little bit toxic to their group. And then we finally kind of finishing things up with, you know, dealing with, you know, what do we do and how do we recommend that people deal with those tough situations, especially when it's like, I need to get this high level skill level. I need to kind of go on a scholarship path, but I don't have another gym to go to. So I'm stuck here with this really challenging situation. So lots of great advice. And I really think people are going to enjoy this. So please screenshot, please share, please let us know, please pass along this episode, but also just rate and review this episode on iTunes, so more people can be aware that it's going on. So hope you guys enjoy this wonderful episode with Chelsea, Diana, and Eva. Oh, yes, we are here live. I'm so excited. First of all, Chelsea and Diana, how are you guys doing? I haven't seen you in forever.
I know.
I think we're doing well, right, Chels?
Yeah, so far, in the middle of a pandemic, as well as you can be. I feel like Mom and I actually haven't seen each other in person in a long time, so it's nice seeing her on video.
I miss you, daughter.
I miss you, too.
You guys have a podcast to connect, though. It's so cool to be able to do that with each other.
Yeah, it's harder, though, as you know. It's harder doing it, you know, not with her next to me, kicking me under the table and telling me, no, don't say that. And she's not here today to do that, Dave, so we shall see.
Mom, stop it. You're embarrassing me. It's just like gymnastics, Chelsea, right? When they come to practice, you're like, stop watching.
Well, she did call me about 20 minutes ago before we started recording and said, now, you know, there are things you cannot say, right, Mom? She already put the leash on me.
It's okay. We have Becky. Becky can edit things out if there's any small slips. It's wonderful to see you guys again. And my amazing best friend and mentor, Eva, how are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Yes. I was just singing all of your guys' praises before the podcast is that both of you guys have a top 10 downloaded episode of all time, which you should be very proud of. I think the people love you. And this is going to be another very important one, I think. I think I will frame the conversation up about how we got to this position, and then we can dive into some topics. But I asked the Shift crowd what they wanted to learn from and what things they're struggling with and what things are hard. And I ask a lot of coaches groups about what they struggle with the most. And we always get some, like, you know, strength, flexibility, technical stuff. But I couldn't believe it. Like, probably, like, I've never seen so many Facebook comments come up so fast. It was like parents. And I was like, well, I guess we should have an episode about parents. But I wanted to have this episode because, like other episodes, I really value seeing multiple points of view and having different opinions about maybe a coach doesn't understand what a parent is thinking. Maybe a parent doesn't understand what a coach is thinking. There's no communication. And so sometimes I think that lack of perspective and empathy taking sometimes leads to a lot of friction. And so we have all people represented here in terms of the role of a parent, right? We have obviously Chelsea and Eva's now a parent. Chelsea and I were both gymnasts. We have coaches. Eva and I are coaches. Are you coaching at all, Chelsea, or no?
I am not coaching.
No. Okay. But I just think we have a lot of different points of view to maybe talk about some of these really hard, common things I hear all the time about what are the most biggest sticking points. So let's just go round robin, maybe Diana, Eva, Chelsea, and kind of if you guys have opening thoughts or things from your experiences that maybe can set the foundation, then we'll kind of dive right into it.
Sure. I would actually say parents, it is the issue for parents too, if you would believe that, because we start comparing ourselves to, you know, another parent's child. And even if we don't, another parent chooses to tell us about their child or what our child didn't do. So I'm going to vote for parents is the hardest thing too. How about that?
That's perfect. Well, Eva, how about you as someone who you've seen the whole gym perspective? Eva has, and I've said this over and over here, Eva has the best parent communication skills I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I've never met somebody who can jump on a metaphorical grenade in a parent meeting better than Eva. So, Eva, what do you think?
Well, that's kind of you, Dave, and those are big words. But yeah, I do feel like I've seen a lot, and I've learned so much. Mm. And I've done so many things wrong. And so, you know, I think what it comes down to, what I've learned, is that it's about partnering with the parents. And if we can find a way to do that, they can become our greatest allies in the process of helping our gymnasts, you know, through their gymnastics journey, if you will. And so, but it takes a while to get there. And and I had so many people helping me kind of discover this through the years. And then I became a parent. I have a 3-year-old. And I was like, oh, I get it now. I
now I get it.
So it was like a whole nother level of understanding where folks are coming from. And I just think that that there's so much we can talk about today, but I just want to be helpful. Mm. And I don't think others have to, you know, kind of struggle through this process of, like I did. I'll be the first to admit, if we can, you know, provide some of our experiences and some feedback and some tricks of the trade that we've picked up along the way. So.
Sure. Yeah. And Chelsea, how about you? I know from the last episode we had, you've had quite the up and down roller coaster with an amazing parent, but also you guys had friction points. You guys had some speed bumps with coaching interactions. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. As a 28-year-old, my thoughts and feelings are a lot different than when I was in club as a, you know, 12, 14-year-old. So I don't have the parent perspective. I don't have the coaching perspective, but I'm able to look at, as a mature 28-year-old, what I wish I could tell my younger self. Mm.
So well said. Yes, absolutely.
I love that.
Very well said.
And I think can I just say, David, and how about what you could tell your mother at the time too, right? I'm sure there's lots of things that now that you know of how you could have handled me.
Yeah.
That at the age when you were in gym, you couldn't. Right? A different voice. You have your voice now.
Yeah. I think now I'm able to look at you as a human instead of as this, you know, fairy person that knows all of the answers. You know, you were doing the best that you could at the time. So I don't harbor any of those ill feelings.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be an interesting conversation, Dave.
I'm crying. I'm going to tear up. Yeah, it's, this is so funny. This is the first thing that came up as I was talking to Nick about this, Nick Ruddick about this. And we were talking a lot about the different kind of interactions people have, but how hard it is as young kids who are especially 10 to 14, it's what a crazy year of your life, like crazy few years of 10 to 15, but like you can't articulate what you're feeling and what you're going through. You don't really have the language to say what's bothering you or what's going on. And so usually, you know, everybody knows you get in the car. How was Jim? Good. What'd you guys do? Stuff. Okay, good. Next talk. You know, like it's really hard to say it, but as you grow more maturely and you can look back at your career, you can have better communication with your mom or your dad or whoever's your guardian, but also your coach and try to foster that communication. So I think we have to understand and respect that most of the people who have the most problems are going to be in that kind of teenage or younger year. And the kids really don't have the ability to express or talk about what's going on. So that's why parent coach communication is so important, because you gotta build the puzzle of what you're not hearing, you know, from right. everybody else.
Totally.
So I went into the coaches group and I went through and I said, tell me, what do you struggle with the most? What do you wish parents knew and all that kind of stuff? And I got some great topics that we're going to share, but I also want to make sure we talk about what parents don't know or parents wish coaches would know as well. Cause I don't want this to be a one-sided bash fest at all, but I also want to offer productive solutions, as Eva said. So, I've kind of ordered these in role of kind of like climbing up the peak of uncomfortable and then coming back down.
I like that.
Yeah, exactly. But the harder ones in the middle. So let's first talk with something I think coaches really know is important that parents, I think, sometimes can become challenged with. But also this happens on the other side where I think the parents can understand this, but the coaches don't see this. It's just the entire idea of being patient and really needing to not rush when athletes are younger. I think we are now seeing more than ever that the age brackets are moving up into harder skills for level 8, 9, 10. But I still think we have, on both eras, we have parents who are really excited and want to have the athletes go quickly, whether it's comparison, Dana, like you said, or do they just want their kids to be, you know, happy and progressing? You know, we know how frustrating it can be for young gymnasts, but also I think there's times when coaches are pushing too fast, too hard, and the parents are like, whoa, whoa, like she's complaining of a lot of pain when she's home, or she's really stressed out, or she can't get her schoolwork done or stuff like that. So that's where I'd like to start is maybe, Diana, can you share some thoughts on, I know you've had some experiences when you were, you know, younger as a parent and Chelsea was younger, that you were pushing pretty hard. And you now look back in it and you're like, oh, wait a minute. So just please share.
Yeah. So I think I would start by understanding as a parent kind of this timeline, right? Because there's this false timeline, and I can say it's false now. At the time, I had, you know, it was the timeline that, you know, it's for college. And for college, you know, it's going to be her senior year, which means 2 years in before that, she's got to have these skills. She's got to be a level 10. She's got to be an excellent level 10. And I think it also depends on the club you're at, right? But we went to an incredibly competitive club. And so if that timeline is in your head, then, you know, all that negativity kind of comes from there. So if you can understand that first, as a parent, and again, it's, I say my timeline, right? But that may not be Chelsea's timeline, right? But that's why we're doing all of this, right? The reason that we're coming 5 days, 6 days a week, 3 hours a day, picking up her early from school, she's eating on the run, ice bath as soon as she gets home, me massaging her back when she's home. The reason we're doing all of that and not spending as much time with our other children is because of that timeline, because she's got to be and have all these skills and everything ready so that when it comes to college gym, she's there, she's the one, she's got her skills, she's ready, right? So I think that's the most important part, is figuring that out and understanding that as a parent, but also understanding your child's timeline.
Yep.
Now, I do think one of the things that Chelsea said, I think, is incredibly important, and it's what she said, which is what I thought about then and what I think about now are two completely different things. So when I say understand your child's timeline, she really doesn't have the ability to communicate to me kind of what she wants or doesn't want at that age, right? So it's not like she can say, I want to do this in college one day, and she knows what she's saying, right? She's got the same peer pressure that I have as a parent, that she's watching all of her teammates progressing faster, progressing slower, the pressure of the coaches. So she's got all that she's dealing with as an 8, 7, 10-year-old as well. Chelsea's case, she was taller than everybody else. You know, Chelsea is 5'8" now, right? So she was always taller than everybody else. So for her and for me as her parent, the clock always felt that we were late. Mm. You know, we always felt that way. And I can remember when she tried out for club. Chelsea, do you remember when you tried out for club?
Oh, no.
I don't want to monopolize the time, but I can say that she had her Leo on, right? But I am a really crafty person. I knit, I sew, I like doing all that stuff. And I had made her the cutest. She's going to hate this. But I made her the cutest little skirt to wear over her Leo, right? For her to try out for club. And she's four or five, no more than that. And the person that she had, the coach that she had, that would determine whether, young ladies would be these club gymnasts. As soon as Chelsea went on, she ripped off Chelsea's skirt. And like, we don't wear skirts here. We wear Leos, right? And so that was kind of my first kind of like, oh man, this is like serious stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they had her do some back walkovers, I think it was. And they didn't choose her, right? So even at that first kind of 4 or 5 year old level, she was not selected. Mm. And we were, you know, on the bandwagon at that point, like, okay, what do you got to do? And she's, you know, and so that immediately at this age of 4 or 5, we're on this bandwagon. And then once you're on it, do you know how hard it is to get off the carousel? Like, I want to get off now. It's
a runaway train.
It's, you're on it. You are on it. So I think those were, I would say, the two bookends, right? It's the bookend of the timeline of what it is you're trying to do and why. And before you get at that bookend, at that first bookend of that commitment, and what are you trying to do then and why, right? Because it could just be wreck and she could be happy and be fine and you could be happy and fine and, you know, you don't go. But that decision is really hard when you're watching all of this happening around you, when you're watching the level 10s doing all these crazy skills and you're 4 and 5 year olds doing back walkovers and you're like, she can do that one day, right? So I think that's what I would say. Just like, understand those bookends is probably one of the most important things that you can do as a parent. And I think as a parent to your daughter or son who may not have that, who don't have that capability of understanding at that age.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I think it's a perfect segue to what Eva has taught me so well, is with those bookends in mind, like the path to get there is so long, right? Like, and I think as coaches, the one thing I hear a lot that's a frustration point is like parents don't understand how much basics and fundamentals and technique and strength and how much time that takes to get to even like very, very low level gymnastics away from rec into competitive team. And, you know, not skipping steps is something that I think is really hard for coaches to do, or for parents to not want coaches to do, because they see so many other kids that are maybe progressing or whatever else it is. And Eva and I have had some like 2, 3, 4 hour conversations about, wow, I can't believe we let her move up and we skip steps and look how much frustration it's causing her now. And we feel in the moment, you're like, let's just do it. You know, it'd be good. The parents will kind of, you know, calm down. They'll be off our back. But then, you know, Eva and I have had some really hard to, come to Jesus moments where we're like, I can't believe we let ourselves make that decision off emotion and not based off of logic. And now the kid is, their back hurts or they're really burnt out or they're really frustrated. So Eva, I would love for you to share some of our experiences and maybe any advice you have too, because you obviously see it now from a parent and a coaching side.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say that it's really hard and that's okay. You know, I think just, knowing that this process is challenging, that it's challenging for everybody involved, sometimes can be a good starting point, that, you know, everybody's trying to figure this out. The parents trying to figure it out, the gymnasts trying to figure it out, the coaches, the administrators, everyone's trying to make this work. And the challenges are different depending on where you're coming from. So recognizing that, I think, is huge. And, you know, there's so many stories. I mean, Dave, we have so many stories. And, you know, we can talk about move-ups. We can talk about specifics, but I think, you know, before we take a deep dive at a surface level, it just comes down to setting these kids up for success. And no matter what stage they're at in the game, to consistently come back to your values, to your core, to what you believe in, and just reviewing those values over and over again to say, you know, are the kids healthy? Like, are we,
and are they happy?
Are they happy? Are we cultivating good people here? Like that we focus on those things before we're so concerned with all the technical elements of gymnastics, because if we're not focused on good health and good humans first, then what are we doing? What are we doing? And I also come back to, you know, are the kids having fun? Are they meeting new friends? And are they learning something new? And so, again, that those three things can be applied to any level. I mean, elite all the way to parent-child gymnastics programming. You know, it's like, are they having fun? Are they meeting new friends? Are they learning something new? It could be like, we learned our colors today, or, you know, we learned a full in. I mean, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. I just think that, those are some good basics to come back to. And when parents are trying to understand a decision that's been made about whatever, could be move ups, could be competing or not competing, which leotard, I mean, it could be anything. I think when parents are trying to understand a decision that's made, if we help them understand where we're coming from first and remind them that our decisions are in the best interest of the of their child, that sometimes that can help diffuse whatever energy is coming into the room, or frustration or anxiety. And so, you know, starting there with just compassion, gratitude, education, under just a general sense of understanding. I know this is really hard for you. And I can't imagine what it's like, you know, you know your daughter best. They love hearing that one. Nobody knows your daughter better than you do. You're her mom. And we coach her 6 days a week and are really looking out for her best interests. And so let's partner in this process to figure out what's best for her. So, and so I don't want to take up too much space here, but I think, you know, Dave, do you want specific examples or are you not ready?
I'll put ourselves on the firing hot plate here. Is that we had a level 8 trying to go level 9. Everybody else was moving up. Things were going well, but she didn't have bars down together and her beam series was not all that great. So we had two events that were great, two events that were riding the struggle bus really hard. She was just a powerful gymnast. Floor and vault was good. So we were like, oh man, her four teammates are moving up and we have a 9 team. It would be so much fun. We're like excited for a young new team. And we moved her up because her mom was kind of like a little bit aggressive about moving ups. And so we were like, you know what, let's just do it. We'll catch up in the summer. She'll get her release move. She'll get her beam series. All will be fine. And the next year she was super overwhelmed and super stressed out just because she was just a later development than the other athletes. And she ended up quitting because her back and also just being too burnt out. And so we lost a great athlete because of our own mistake to not talk more. We didn't communicate at all with his parent. We're like, okay, geez, like, okay, we'll move her up. Like, get off our back. You know, like, we don't want to deal with this in season when, like, we know we have one girl in one session as a level 8, and then we have 5 girls in another session as a level 9. We didn't want to be like, you know, this is awkward.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Then, Diane, you want to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, do we know what the gymnast wanted in hindsight?
Yep. Nope, we didn't. No.
I'm so glad you just said that because I was literally just about to jump in and say that we have unfortunately had too many situations where we've made a decision without asking enough questions. And one of the most important questions that I have forgotten to ask is, what is it that you want, dear gymnast? Is this what you want? What else are you looking to do in your life? Where do you want to go from here? What else are you currently participating in? I mean, Dave, how many times have we moved somebody up without knowing that she's also the head of her National Honor Society, decided to pick up softball on the side, is like babysitting her little sister four nights a week because mom just got a new job. Like these, you know, external factors that have nothing to do with gymnastics really, really impact gymnastics. And so it's like, well, maybe the move to nine wasn't so smart if we're interested in softball. If we had just maybe paused for a second and asked the question, then as a team, we can decide, okay, this makes the most sense. Bring the parents into the conversation. Bring the gymnasts into the conversation. Bring other coaches into the conversation. Sometimes we get kids who, you know, we haven't coached since level three or four. And so maybe it's worth talking to some of the former coaches to say, you know, what's her work ethic like? Or does she seem to get overwhelmed at certain times of year? And just to gain kind of like a broader knowledge of this gymnast as a person, which is really, really, really important, as you know. But I mean, unfortunately, too many times, I have gotten so hyper-focused on the technical pieces and also the emotional pieces are tough. Like, but I know she can do it. You know, like I really know she can do it and I'm going to work so hard to make sure that she can do it, but she doesn't want to do it. And so it's like a lot of energy expended just to feel disappointed when really we could have just asked a few questions to start and saved everybody the frustration.
Yeah, absolutely. Chelsea, what are your thoughts?
I think these are all really great points. Thinking back, I think one of the reasons for me it was so hard to really pinpoint what I wanted is because I was never asked, what do I want? So I think if my coaches or even if my parents gave me the opportunity to express what it is exactly I was looking for, I would be able to understand my own emotions and let them know, hey, this is actually what I want to do with my gymnastics career. So I think, you know, giving gymnasts that opportunity is key.
Yeah, I'm very glad you said that. I think the lesson that we have learned, Eva, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we have to be radically open with our communication and not be afraid of maybe an uncomfortable chat sometimes, because as we know, people have different goals when they're 12 versus when they're 16, right? And I think we now have yearly kind of debriefs where we ask the athletes like, hey, how'd the year go? Like a one-on-one meeting, like, what are your goals? Do you still want this? And we have some kids, Eva, who are like, you know, it actually is exactly what you think. You're like, nope, I still want to do level nine. And then, you know, college isn't for me, but I want to do level nine. Then we have other kids who are like, no, college for sure. But then we have other kids who are like, you know what? The more I get into high school and the more I realize I want to hang out with my friends, I like doing, you know, this other class, you know, I don't really want to go to college anymore and do gymnastics. I don't really want to do level nine gymnastics at all. I think I'd rather maybe just hang out on level eight and enjoy the time with my teammates and maybe try high school gymnastics or maybe do another, you know, sport or stuff like that. And I think the key takeaway here is that you have to be radically over communicating, but also give the kids permission that it's okay to do whatever they want to do. And it's not going to hurt your feelings. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. I think a lot of times the kids don't want to talk about what they really want because they don't want to let the coach down or their parent down or their teammates down. They don't want the judgment from their teammates about why they're moving on. And I think if you build a culture where the parents are okay with whatever, the coaches are okay with whatever, and the athletes around them will always still support them, I think a lot of the times the gymnasts themselves will feel a weight of, you know, lifted off their shoulders that like, oh, I can do another sport and come visit and hang out and still be a part of the team. Or I can just coach and maybe do something on the side, or I can join Excel and I just like Excel better. And that's totally fine for me. So I think that's really important, is that kind of aspect of like, hey, we love you no matter what, whether it's you want to go play softball or you want to be here and go college gymnastics. We love whatever you're doing. It's unconditional support no matter what.
I really like that. No, I was just going to say, I really like that. And I think part of, you know, what we experience, and hopefully times have changed, is there really wasn't those kinds of options. Either you were committed or you weren't.
Yeah.
right? Either you're all in or you're not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even staying after school later because you had to do X, Y, or Z, that's not working. You're supposed to not be at school and be here, right? So I think, to your point, I think if we can change the culture, maybe it is doing that now. And again, we've been out of it, at least the club side, for a minute. But if that could change, because I know what we were dealing with, if you weren't, you know, front and center every time, you're not, and don't forget too, you're also struggling to be the athlete that the coaches look at too, or you're struggling for your daughter to be the athlete that the coaches, because you're competing to be in competition, you know, at the meets. You're competing to get the extra help, because, you know, I think we can safely say that not all coaches are honest brokers, right? Mm. Not every athlete is treated equitably. Mm. And so you're fighting that as a parent the whole time too. In our case, as you can even see in this interview, Chelsea's the quiet one. Chelsea's, you know, she's not going to be the one jumping up and down saying me, 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 as some of her teammates were. I mean, some of the other teammates, watch me do this, watch me do this, let me do one more, let me do one. Chelsea's like, I don't even want to do the one I just did. And so then, you know, for me, I became that advocate for her. There's a lot to unpack there. There really is. But I do agree, you know, wholeheartedly that it's figuring out what the gymnasts want, and being able to coach that particular gymnast.
Right.
Right. Because they're all different.
Yeah. Eva, what were you going to say? Sorry.
Well, you know, just to piggyback on Diana's comment about culture and it being a shift in culture. I mean, Dave, we've worked incredibly hard the past few years to help our gymnasts understand that they are empowered to speak up and make their own decisions, and that they can change their minds, and that's okay. And as long as they communicate with us that they've done that, we will support them in whatever their new track is going to be. Yep. And sometimes they don't know what the new track is. They just know that they're not happy where they're at. And that is a different kind of conversation, still a good one, but just talking about options. We've had gymnasts come into our offices to say, oh, I'm just not feeling it. Yeah, I'm just not happy. I don't really know why. I feel like something needs to change. I don't really know what needs to change. Can you help me figure this out? Absolutely. I love those conversations. Because then we can talk about options and kind of help, you know, guide this person into their new direction. And then it's about making sure that we're communicating with everybody else that the direction has shifted and that now here's the new plan. And we're going to support this person in this new process. And so, but we have to start by empowering them to speak up when they're feeling like they've changed their mind, or they're just feeling kind of different about something that they've always loved. Mm. Sometimes it's a really tough conversation that is maybe more painful for us than it is the gymnast, which is about them maybe moving on from our sport. And sometimes the gymnast, I mean, he or she has been ruminating over this for so long and has finally come to grips with the fact that this isn't what they want anymore, but we didn't know. And so as they're sitting across from us telling us that they think they're done, it's like we have to figure out how to manage our own emotions in that moment and still support the person who is probably feeling really vulnerable sitting in front of us. Also probably feeling sad, because we know how gymnastics is. I mean, it's life, you know, it's all consuming, and there's so much time and energy and commitment to it that to know that it's your time to walk away can feel really bittersweet, I'm sure, for most. So helping that gymnast who's sitting in front of you, being honest about these things, feel okay about it, feel okay about this transition, And don't be a stranger, girlfriend. Come back in here. We're hiring. Do you want a job? There's so many, come volunteer at the meet we're running next weekend. I mean, there are so many opportunities for these guys to stay connected, even if it's not in a leotard every day practicing.
Yep. Yep. Chelsea, any parting thoughts before we move on, or no?
No, I think those are all great points. And I wish I had some of that experience when I was growing up in gymnastics. I think it would have changed my career positively if I had that opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. As the young gymnast in me definitely looks back to like the 12, 13, 14, when I knew internally that I maybe wanted to try some other things, but I was nervous to disappoint my coach, and my mom and my dad were totally cool with it, but I was nervous to disappoint my coach. And like Eva just said, I was worried I was going to lose all my friends and my social connections that were a huge part of my life. And when I realized that I could still hang out at the gym and I could still come visit, and then doors always open, I ended up taking a break for a while, but like that was so important. I wish I had known from an earlier age, and I had a gym that, talked about it more, because it was a thing and I didn't know it was a thing, but it was. So I think this seamlessly transitions into just like one of the most important things I hear about it is the need for communication. And I'd like to frame this as kind of the point of view of, we made really big mistakes. I used to be terrified of parents because I didn't want to have uncomfortable conversations with them. Eva can probably flash back to like my first few years coaching, when it was like spot, 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 grab my bag, walk out the back door. Nobody saw me.
out of here.
Literally. And then after the meet, like it was like, award ceremony, hug, hug, hug. But one thing we learned, is rightfully so, is that, parents do not like to be blindsided with new information about like these sudden things they didn't know about, like, oh, they're not doing this event in this meet because they don't have their giants, or oh no, she's not moving up this year. Like, we made really big errors in not communicating about progress and about all the things going on and all the details of stuff. And so, as Eva so rightfully pointed out to me, what happens is, they have to be with their daughter or son 15 hours per day when the daughter or son is miserable and upset and sad and frustrated and doesn't want to talk at the dinner table because of this big thing they knew about, but now their parents just found out about, and they feel really uncomfortable. And so I think that's a really important way to frame the conversation. But the real honest thing is that people in the group were saying that I asked, they were like, oh, like you wouldn't believe how many times helicopter parent came up in this discussion about, things they're worried about. And I want to say that there's a difference between the helicopter parent in terms of over coaching. Like, that's really frustrating from a coaching point of view, as someone who's actually trying to say, put your chin up more, or like literally over the wall of the boundary being like, I think you should pick your feet up, go do your drill. Like, that is frustrating from a coaching point of view. But from a coaching point of view, there's times when they need to be super involved. It is their job to take care of their kid and make sure that every single thing that is going on. And so, done are the days where parents drop their kids off, go sit in the car, and like don't get any information about what's going on in the gym. And so there's a distinction here between maybe overstepping a boundary, and then like the coaches need to understand, they need to over communicate about every single thing that is happening. They can come watch every practice, totally fine. Like, that needs to be established as a difference between the helicopter parent and the rightfully so involved parent. So I don't know who wants to take that one on.
Well, I would start by say there are daughters.
Exactly.
So like, don't get it twisted, right? There are daughters and we're paying for it, right? So yes. For us, it's like we have a seat at the table, right?
Yes.
And so to your point, it's, is there a way that, we spend all these hours with our daughter. Not that we can spend the same amount of hours with the parent, but it needs to be something more than what it's been. Or, and again, hopefully it's changed, that, it's not just move up time. At the end of the year, there's a parent teacher conference, a coach, parent conference. I think in Chelsea's case, there would be a book with really, one documented that you care the most, which would have, the check marks on the things that were well, and the, no check marks on the things that weren't well. And then at the bottom, the information that you were really waiting for, which is she moving up or is she not?
Yeah.
And then once you got that, then you were, as you said, you're back in your car. And then you wait your turn again, right? And so I think if we can, you know, spend much more time figuring out, you know, how frequently can we talk and understand the parents' point of view. And not only their point of view, but helping them to understand what they need to understand too, because we don't want our daughters hurt. We don't want our daughters injured. You know, we don't want our daughters not being where they don't want to be. And so if we're having that regular dialogue and understanding, then that I think could help create the overall understanding that we're at the same page at the same time where we need to be.
Yeah, totally. Eva?
Yeah, that's pure gold right there. I think it doesn't take much to keep parents in the loop, in kind of a consistent loop. It doesn't always have to be about the progress report or the move up sheet or the giant parent meeting that happens at the beginning of every season. It can just be the quick little drive-by email. Hey, wanted to drop you a quick note to let you know that Chelsea did an excellent job tonight. You know, and it doesn't just have to be about technical skills. It can be like one of her teammates was really stressing and she was the most incredible teammate. You would be so proud to see her picking her teammate up when she was down. Right? If you're a parent, you don't even care what she did in
gymnastics. That's right. Absolutely.
You're so happy. And it's like two sentences. You send it quickly after practice before you go home for the night. And, you know, obviously, especially if you run a large program or multiple programs like we do, it's like you can't do it for every kid every night all the time. But when those moments present themselves, take advantage of them. So, you know, if they drop off and if they come in instead of dropping off outside.
Took the word out of my mouth.
Take the time. And it, again, because a lot of times, you know, as coaches, we're coaching, we're out on the floor, but, you know, find an excuse to go grab a block of chalk or something and fly by that parent quickly and just say, you know, she's been working really hard on that beam series. She'll have it in no time. You know, make sure she's going to bed early. Like just like little snippets that help the parents understand that you have a plan for their child. You are actively engaged in their development as people, their development in gymnastics, that you're not afraid of them, that you care about communicating the little details. And I think those little personal touches go a long way. But Diana, I only have a 3-year-old, so I haven't done what you've done. So, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong.
No, but I think that's true. And I don't know what the revenue looks like, right? But if there could be a parent coach, right? You got coaches for the gymnast, but if there could be a parent coach and their full-time job is parents, you know, and they are a parent themselves and they're good at it, right? Mm. Because I think it's fair that you guys are trying to coach the gymnast and coach them through all the things you've talked about. And maybe, you know, some coaches aren't so good, Dave, if you're crawling under the desk, right? Or crawling out the door.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's not his strength. And he's a really, really good coach of gymnastics, right? Not all of us are great at talking to parents. And so maybe if the revenue structure allows it, having somebody where that's their job.
I have these visions of Dave right now at awards after a meet. Literally hiding behind the food table, like scarfing down the power bar. And I'm like, we just won. Like, can we cut? Would you care to come take a picture? I can't even find you. And he's like hiding. No, I can't.
Did my job.
Did my job.
Nobody died.
Team won.
We've come a long way.
Yeah. Chelsea, what are your thoughts? I mean, from a gymnast point of view, I mean, you and I know oh so well how awkward that giant, like, we need to have a meeting conversation is. But like, I don't know. I feel like that constant. I mean, how good does it feel as an athlete when your coach gives you those little touch points about like, hey, how's your day? How's school? Like, from a parent point of view, especially if as an athlete, you know, your parents and coaches actually talk to each other and don't have an awkward relationship. Like, how much better does that feel on you as a gymnast?
Oh my gosh. I think the parent coach relationship is so important, because without it, the gymnast becomes the middleman. Mm-hmm. And then that's just so much added pressure as the gymnast that we don't need. Mm. We're here to compete our skills, work on new skills, and potentially move up. And if we have to then be this relationship between our coach and our parent, there's just so much opportunity for miscommunication that the gymnast, I don't think, should ever have to experience.
Yeah, that's very, very important. I'm glad you said that. And also, looking back about like how, you know, even I studied a lot of books about like how do we create a better culture, and something that worked with the gymnast really well are what are called micro events, or these touches, as Eva said, which is just these little conversations like about them as humans, right? Like, how did that test go? Like, I know you had something going on. Like, what's going on the weekend? What do you have going on? Did you guys have fun at your sleepover last week? Like, all those little things. But for me, I had to translate that into like, I mean, I was so like nervous talking to parents. It was like great exposure for me, right? I was like a 22-year-old kid who knew nothing about parenting. And so like, for me, it was about like hanging after practice 5 extra minutes, right? And just being like mingling, right? And just being like, oh, hey, how are you? Like, how are you? What's going on? And like, at first it was just that. It was like, oh no, she did great. Like, had a great practice. But then slowly it became a conversation more about like, they would ask about like, you know, what else do you do outside gymnastics? And like, oh, I saw you do a physical therapy thing. And like, and then we start to have conversations about, just more uncomfortable conversations about like, yeah, this is bothering her a lot at home, or like, she may not be telling you this. And it allowed us some flexibility to do that. And I remember, Eva, one of our athletes who has now moved on to boarding school, but like, I remember just passing, I was in the gym working out above our facility. And like this athlete's father walked by me and he was just like, stop me. And I was like, oh God, here we go. Right? I just want to let you know, like, you know, like this athlete's so happy and we're so grateful for everything you guys are doing.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
For her as a human, like, she's made a huge difference in like how she feels. She loves coming here. And like, we're super grateful as parents that you guys just talk about human things and you care about their development. It's not only about gymnastics. Like, she really enjoys being here. And I was like, oh Jesus. I was like, I've never had a positive parent experience in my life. Right. And I think that's what something is so important. When you have those micro events, it doesn't only become a talk when something's going wrong. And I think that's the big thing, is like, usually when I would talk to parents, it was like, someone didn't move up. There's an injury. She's scratching at me. Like the call, like, oh, we took a little spill on B. We'll do an x-ray, right? So I think that when you have micro events, you can just have really casual conversation. And it made me much more comfortable to just talk to all parents, but then it really made me comfortable on both ends of great positive feedback or critical feedback about things that we weren't doing well as coaches. Yeah.
And I'm wondering too, Dave, if it's at some point as coaches, if you could see me as Diana versus Chelsea's mom.
Mm, yes.
Right. Cause that's two different viewpoints that you're coming to talk to me about. Right. Yeah. And in most cases, the coaches probably don't even know what our names are. It's just Chelsea's mom. Right. So I think because we're individuals as well.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, if we can understand Chelsea's mom's view, however crazy or good it is, that also helps you just manage everything too.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really important point about perspective taking and remembering that we are all not Chelsea's mom or Eva's, you know, Dave's coach or this and that. We are people who are involved in gymnastics. These are kids who do gymnastics. I am a guy who coaches gymnastics. I also have a life outside of this. Like, you are a woman who has a daughter who is involved in gymnastics, and you also have a life around. So I think that's important to remember, that like, we are in this weird ecosystem. Like, you ever, Chelsea, you ever see your coach like in the grocery store and you're like, oh my God, I didn't know you wear jeans. I didn't know you wear jeans, you know,
but Chelsea would have dropped the groceries and ran.
So I think it's important to remember that is like, you know, we are all people involved in gymnastics and we're all trying to get involved in stuff, which is good. But like, we have lives, we have feelings, we have emotions, we have things we struggle with. And the more you can remember that, like, gymnastics is a piece of everybody's life, I think it gives you a lot more emotional perspective and empathy around, you know, why people feel a certain way. And I want to definitely highlight, Danny, you said about like being willing to hear someone's opinion, even if you think it's maybe a little bit off the thing. I've now learned that every conversation, I can learn something about the athlete I'm coaching by talking to their parent or talking to their, you know, their guardian or whoever else it is. I used to think my way was the highway and they wouldn't understand the coaching side. But then I heard about what's going on in their other life. There was things that I thought were 100% driven by gymnastics. Like someone's emotional, someone's in a bad mood, someone's not motivated, and they didn't want to say anything. And I was like, I don't know what's wrong with this person. And then I talked to their dad. They go, oh yeah, well actually like their grandfather passed away, or mm-hmm. they're like, they had something really hard going on in school or something. Like we had a big blowout fight with our brother at home or something. I was like, oh geez, it's not me. Okay. It's not gymnastics. Yeah. Like there's a reason for this. And so like, there's something to be learned from every single parent interaction as a coach.
Yeah. I always say, you know, you have to see through somebody else's eyes. Because if you continue to see it through your eyes, you're going to continue to see it the way that you've always seen it. So understanding it through their view gives you a little perspective that you didn't have.
Yes.
And for coaches trying to work with helicopter parents, ask yourself, what is at the root of this helicoptering behavior? Because oftentimes it's guilt or anxiety. I mean, these parents want to be there for their kids, to support them, but they don't always know how to do that. And when they don't know what to do, they might feel guilty or inadequate, and nobody wants to feel that way. Mm-hmm. So they hyper-focus their energy on the wrong things, maybe not knowing that they are the wrong things because they don't know what else to do. So give them something to do. Maybe talk to them about how they can be helpful. Think of all the things that we can't control as coaches, like how much sleep they get and what they're eating and how much water they're drinking and how they're managing their time. I mean, these are things that the parents can be incredibly helpful with. Mm. And or some parents just need a job to do. That was my mom. Like, just give her a project. give her a task to do, or a project to be involved in, something that will help you as the coach or director or whatever your role is, you know, check something off your own list and help the parents feel involved in their child's gymnastics. There's something to be said for just being clear up front when there are a new gymnast joining the team, to those kind of rookie parents, so to speak, about what their role is in their child's gymnastics and how they can help and what's appropriate and what's, you know, maybe not appropriate, or you know, remind them that, like, we are the coaches. This is what you're paying us to do. Mm. And so let us do our jobs and we will do a great job with your help. But like, there's only so much we can do in the gym. We could really use your help with X, Y, and Z at home. And then the parents kind of have like a mission to take on, and they know how to be helpful. Yep. And imagine how much more you can get out of your gymnasts in practice if the parent, you've partnered with the parents. Suddenly the gymnasts are taking more turns because they have the energy, because they got a good sleep that, you know, the night before, or they're thinking clearly or having a really focused day on balance beam because they're not preoccupied with the unfinished homework projects that are looming because the parents have taught them some skills about time management, or, you know, worked with them on how to structure a schedule, because a lot of schools aren't teaching these things right now. They're not teaching the kids how to manage their time. And the parents might be wonderful at managing their time and might be able to share some of those skills with their gymnast and not know that that's what the gymnast needs. So I think it's really on us as coaches to help the parents understand how they can truly support their gymnasts. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Chelsea, do you have any parting thoughts on this topic before we dive in the next one?
No, I think we touched everything.
Good. Just want to make sure that everybody is involved. I don't want to leave anybody unturned. Yeah, and I think my summarizing comment, I think it's really important for coaches to have this empathetic point of view and take the viewpoint. And I do want to stand up for coaches a little bit here and say that it's really important that parents do the same thing. I think that parents need to really see from the coach's eyes about, you know, what really goes on in a coach situation. Like, oftentimes there's an enormous amount of pressure on coaches to get all, I mean, think about, like, you're running 12 kids through bar rotations and trying to figure out who needs this and this person individually, and this person has this technical error. It's like you're trying to write a strength program. You're trying to get the meets ready and plan hotels and leotards. It's like it's a nightmare sometimes. And I think oftentimes, Eva, I'm just going to say it as it is, a lot of coaches are overworked and underpaid, right? We have a lot of, in our culture as a whole, like, oh, no, you just stay after and do those lesson plans. Or like, oh, no, the meeting is kind of just, you just do it because you're a good person. Or like, you just kind of travel and you just do that, right? But like a lot of coaches feel very burnt out and spread thin because they don't get reimbursed time or financially, or no one's ever asked, like, hey, what's going on in your personal life? Like coaches have personal lives. They have things going on in their own life that like, it's really hard to just drop that at the door and come in and be like, you know, okay, fresh daisy, let's go. But also like there's coaching interactions, there's coaching problems. Like you can have one really toxic coach in your athlete relationship in the gym that's really bringing the vibe down. And like, I think parents don't see that again, because maybe they're just in the car, drop off, pick up, and they don't go in and see how hard coaches work sometimes. And I think that lack of, you know, direct eye contact, I'm like, wow, he's spotting 40 cast handstands, are like, wow, she's doing an entire lesson plan from scratch for these eight kids that are running around. It's like hurting cats sometimes. It's impossible. You know what I mean? So I think it's really important that people just remember both sides of the fence are trying to do the best they possibly can. And I think the next thing, crawling up the ladder of uncomfortable conversations that we have to have, is the concept of realistic goals, but then also sharing the same goals. We talked about the need to kind of make sure the parent and the gymnast all have the same goal. Sometimes parents have a goal and gymnast goal are far outside that. But I think realistic goals and realistic progress is important, because I can kind of weigh in from the medical side. Is I think sometimes I have a really awkward conversation where somebody comes in, they have like a knee injury or a back injury, and like the mom is telling me everything about their son or daughter, about this hurts and this is going wrong and we've tried this. And I'm like, maybe we should talk to the athlete about what they're going through at the gym. And it gets down to this awkward conversation about like, oh, well, she's got a meet coming up and we have a meet in 2 weeks. There's like, and sometimes like, oh, it's elite qualifier. We want to get ready for that. I'm like, I don't know if she wants to do this. And I don't know if she cares that it happens this year. Like this year, especially with coronavirus, I just evaluated an athlete in the clinic before I came here. She was like, oh, I don't care about competing this year. Like, I just don't, it's not a big deal. I don't want to do the virtual meets. Like my knees are kind of sore and like, I'm just having fun. And the mom was like, wait a minute, you don't want to compete? And I was like, whoa. Someone- like, sometimes I think the timelines for these goals, coaches feel as though parents maybe don't understand how long getting to level 8, level 9 takes. It can take 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And even like if you have a college goal, like that is a long time to get there. And it's boring sometimes and it's monotonous. And like you have to really just focus on the basics. And so that's where I'd like to go next, is maybe talking about this idea of realistic goals. And something that Eva, I don't want to steal her thunder, that she, you know, taught me so well, is that parents sometimes believe that the level move up system is like the academic move up system, where you automatically move up a level every year. And it's not like, you know, just like 2 years, or sometimes like progress is not linear and constant. It's a zigzag all over the place. And you go backwards and forwards, you lose some skills, you get them back, you have to change your skills. So Eva, can you start maybe in chat about that concept, about the move up thing? Because that's definitely 100% you teaching me that. I don't want to steal that.
Yeah, I think that what parents, if they have no experience in gymnastics, you know, before their child's in the program, they look at move-ups a lot like moving up a grade every year, and that the expectations are the same or should be the same, and they're just not. And so that is something that I have said many times to parents, that you know, moving from level 4 to level 5 is not like moving from fourth grade to fifth grade. So if she needs another year on level 4, it just means that she's not ready for 5 because the skills aren't there yet. It doesn't mean that she's staying back the way you would stay back in school. And because, you know, at a certain point, And Chelsea, I know you know this, like it's not about age anymore. You know, it's really not about age at all. I mean, of course, the way you teach a 7-year-old gymnastics is very different than the way you would teach a 14-year-old gymnastics. But sometimes the skill levels are the same. And so unlike grade school or soccer, for instance, I mean, soccer is a big one. They move up to a different team, a different category based on their birthday. And so a lot of parents come into the game kind of used to that structure. And so a lot of what we have to do is just educate them about how gymnastics works and, how it's different than soccer and how it's different than school. And these are the things that make sense, from an age standpoint, but this is really what the skill level looks like. And this is how the progression works. And some of the greatest gymnasts, high-level gymnasts, spent multiple years at the same level as part of their compulsory work, and has built a wonderful foundation for higher level gymnastics. And if there are any cracks in the foundation, like, we have to keep them where they're at so that we can seal up those cracks and make sure it's nice and strong, so that what we're building on is a strong foundation that is capable of withstanding those high level skills, because the gymnast will just crumble otherwise. Mm. And so if you explain it that way, the parents are like, oh, like, you know, mm-hmm. never thought of it like that. It's like that we right now are taking steps to protect your gymnast, not just physically, but emotionally, because we want he or she to feel successful, and success not measured by medals and trophies and all around scores, but success can mean that feeling that you worked really hard and you accomplished something, and you could keep up with the practice, or you got through the strength program, Dave's strength program, without completely dying. And so I think that it's about going home and feeling successful, even if it was hard, even if you're tired.
Yep.
And those moments add up to a larger success that might come with some hardware like medals and trophies. But this is what the parents, especially like when they enter your team, it's like, have this conversation with them as soon as you can so that they understand how gymnastics is structured.
Mm. Yeah, Chelsea, I would love your opinion here, because I think you have, from the athlete point of view, something that is really hard for parents to grasp is how it exponentially gets harder as you go up in level. Like, the jump from level 4 to 5 on bars, right, is like very low jump and a very consistent gain. You get a lot of fast, rapid progress that you make, versus the jump from 8 to 9, like on bars, for example, is a massive jump in difficulty and time and commitment and energy. And the gains in marginal progress is minimal. Like, you work 20% harder to get a 1% gain, versus like in level 4, you could work 1% harder and get a kip. And like, wow, this is amazing. Can you speak maybe from the gymnastics point of view? Because I think if parents understood that concept of an exponential slope, they'd have a different perspective on why maybe it's so hard the more you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes back to mom's first point and the whole timeline, you know, and the whole grand scheme of things. If we're rushing to go through all of these levels, if you're a level 10 by the time you're 10 years old, you still have 8 more years before you're eligible for college. So are you just going to be a level 10 for 8 years? Mm. So, I mean, I think thinking long-term is the most important thing, because burnout is a real thing. I've seen so many teammates of mine that could have had really successful college careers, but I think because they were pushed at such a young age, and they were at this top level so young, goals and the way that they saw themselves as gymnasts got skewed. And I think it really ruined their careers.
Yeah, it's so hard to see that happening. But you and I probably know, and Eva, obviously having teammates, is you can kind of see your teammates around you, the ones that you know, like, God, they're getting, whether it's the coach is pushing them too hard, the parents pushing them too hard, they're pushing themselves too hard, too young, and they can't be patient. You can just slowly kind of watch them just deflate over like the course of a season. And I've had some teammates of mine that like were so good at a young age, were so talented. And I literally watched them become like a ghost in a shell. They just walked into practice and they just did their warmups. They did their stretch. And like, they were so good. They were like, double back. Okay. Full in. No problem. Double layout. No problem. And I was like, are you having fun? They're like, not really. I'm just kind of doing this because my mom's paying and I don't want to tell her that I actually like BMX biking. And it's like, Jesus, man, like this is hard. And I just told him, like, and then we have that in our athletes now. Like you can see the stirring of the soul, you know, like, something's going on here, you know, like, and you have that conversation. You're like, well, my back just hurts all the time. And I don't really love this anymore. Like I love my friends, but I don't love it, but I don't want to lose my friends, but I want to be with, you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, we can find a solution to this, but this is not going to be good for anybody, right? Like you're not happy. We're not happy. You know, you're just unfortunately not the best version of yourself. So it's hard, but parents have to understand just how really challenging. I would say anything past like level 6 gymnastics, honestly, it's just like, this is getting tough. This is getting really tough. So kind of have that in mind all the time. I don't know, Diane, do you have any thoughts on this? I feel like you have a lot.
Oh, do I have thoughts on this?
Just a bit.
Please.
Well, I have lots of thoughts. I think I'd start by with the bookends, right? So we're looking at our daughter going to college, right? We're investing in the time. We're investing in their abilities for this college goal for some people, right? But when you get to 8 and 9, you're thinking that your daughter's going to be doing this in college. And don't forget, at that age, that's when you're really hearing, let them just get through club because college is where it's fun. Mm. Like college is when they get to have fun and they're part of a team and they get to enjoy it.
Just such a shame. That's so awful. That's the way it is. But you're true. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. So there's that part. In some cases, it's the financial piece, right? That I'm investing all this financial, paying all this now so that I don't have to pay for college, right? So there's that all happening with parents. And so I think while Eva says, you know, there are certain skills you have to make before you move up. We're as parents understanding the bookend timeline. Like we're, you know, that's locked and loaded in our brains of what has to happen by sophomore year for them to even be considered for college, right? So, you know, we're kind of as parents crystal clear about that timeline. And so I think while coaches have this ability to stand back and look at it more globally, it's no different than a parent who wants their child to go to Harvard, right, to get a scholarship in college, an academic scholarship, or wanting the best for your daughter to get that great job that they want, right? None of it's different as a parent, because as a parent, you want the best for your child. And as a parent, you're going to go all in for the best that you can do for your child. Now, the issue is that you don't really know what that is, right? You don't know what doing the best and being all in is, right? You don't, you know, there's no book that says, and make sure you don't do this and make sure you do that. And then in our case, you have a daughter who is not really that communicative, right? And every time she's out of the gym, like after practice, she's had the best time she could have possibly had. She did the best she could. She had the great skills. That's when she was talking, when she's out of the gym, right? Because she just did all this stuff. But then the next day, before she has to go to gym, there's, you know, this whole kind of anxiety thing, right? So it's, as a parent, then it's like, well, which one am I doing? Am I doing? Am I not? Am I going? Am I not? Am I, you know? And Josie's laughing because she knows.
It's true.
Right? And so then as the parent, you're supposed to now decide, okay, is she in or is she out? Am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing, you know? And again, you've got, in my case, my parents saying, put her in tennis. Put her in tennis. Right? And so I say all that to say, I think all of it's really good advice, but you just don't know. And you're doing what you can by being that advocate, but it's really difficult. It's really complicated.
Yeah. And I'm so happy you mentioned the scholarship thing, because the last three topics we're going to kind of crescendo to and end on are, one of the ones that's really uncomfortable to talk about is like, there aren't that many athletic scholarships around in gymnastics. Like it is hard. It is really hard to get an athletic scholarship, even a partial scholarship, because of the number of girls that are trying to do it. And so, a really good coaching friend of mine was like, please say on the podcast that like, it's not as easy as you think to get a scholarship, and that, you know, athletics and making a well, I mean, he agrees with me. He knows that scholarship.
I wish I knew how to put myself on mute.
I know. We can welcome all the banter on the podcast. But what I was saying is, he was just saying, please mention that, like, you're better off banking on academics and just making a great human, because coaches don't want to recruit someone who's an amazing gymnast, but then is not a great person and is like questionable if they can even compete because of academics. And so I would love to, Chelsea, please weigh in here, because didn't you, I think you kind of redirected your focus to Division II after realizing there was more options, right?
Yeah, definitely. Before my first surgery, which was, I was a sophomore or junior in high school. I was all about Division I. I was sending emails. I was sending videotapes, because that's what you did back in the day. I was sending them to coaches, and my coaches, my parents, and I, we were all on the same page as, okay, it doesn't matter where I go to school. If it's across the country, I'm going to get the scholarship. But after my two surgeries, and at that point, I was in my senior year, all of that went away. And to me, I was ready to just walk away from the sport, because if I'm not able to get this Division I athletic scholarship, then what's the point? But it was really mom who said, you know, there's other options. So I ended up looking into Division II schools. That was a great opportunity. I didn't end up getting a scholarship, but looking back on it now, I think it's a lot better for me that I didn't get the scholarship, because I didn't have that pressure of needing to perform or needing to make lineup and competing with my teammates, because at that point I was really doing gymnastics for me, and the coaches didn't put the pressure on me to perform. And I really enjoy gymnastics more than I ever had before. So I would highly recommend that.
I'm so happy we seamlessly transitioned into the most uncomfortable topic of the entire conversation, because this is going to sing Diana's praises, is that you, Diana, as a mom, realize that it's about what she wants. Right. And this is so important. And I feel like this is a really big root cause of a lot of problems. We've touched on it, but like at the end of the day, it's what the athlete wants out of gymnastics. It is not about what the parent wants. It's not about what the coach wants. It's not about what your friends want. It's not about what your mom and dad are telling you, like your grandparents are telling you. And I think this is so hard, because many people, unfortunately, unlike what Diana did, is that they get so wrapped up in watching college gymnastics and watching Florida versus Alabama, and they watch like all the shiny stuff. And I think this is a minority, but sometimes the parents just love posting on Facebook, and they love being able to brag at dinner parties. And like, it's more about, you know, the parents, you know, social life, about why they're doing meets and why they're pushing this super hard gymnastics. But, well, my daughter's an elite. My daughter's going to national qualifiers. My daughter's going a scholarship, blah, blah, blah. And I've had some of these parents, again, minority, thankfully, but like sitting in the clinic when we're talking about injuries, or I'm consulting with people, and I'm like, what is happening right now? I'm like, what in the world is going on? Because it sounds like you want your daughter to get a scholarship, and your daughter wants to go Division III or actually stop when she's a senior, but she's terrified of what you're going to think about her. And I think that's like the ultimate like gut punch to a lot of people, is like, it's really what about they want. And we've had athletes, Eva, that are like, even this year with the pandemic, right? They were just like, I just think it's not for me anymore. You know, it's just so much work to get back. And I love high school gymnastics. I'm just going to do that. And then we have other athletes that are like, you know, I think I want to come back, but I don't want to go level 9 anymore. And we have other athletes that are like, I'm coming back, guns blazing, and I'm ready to go level 10. And it's like, all right, well, we got a lot of people to work with here, but every coach has to be aligned with what the athlete wants, and every parent has to be aligned with what their athlete wants. And full circle is not put that pressure on the athlete if they don't want to do it, because I promise you, all you're going to get is resentment and friction. You're not going to get any progress. You're going to get bitterness. So that's, I wanted to say that earlier in the podcast, but I think we've made the psychological safety net enough
that we can say it.
Please heed our advice, because everybody here has seen people on the receiving end of getting pushed and they don't want to do it. You know what I mean? Or their goals change when they go to high school and they want to be with friends. They meet a cute boy or a cute girl or whatever else it is, and they want to do other things. That's totally fine. But I think as a coach, I can tell you that I made this as a mistake, is that I wanted it more than the athletes wanted it themselves. Uh-huh. And we were push. And they were just like, I don't want to do this. I just want to come and have fun. It's like, ooh, well, this is awkward now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Anybody's thoughts on that, about the idea about the athletes being in the center?
I can add a couple of points you know, a lot of my teammates did end up going Division One and had that full athletic scholarship, but a lot of them didn't even get to compete in Division One because their bodies were so broken by the time they got there. So, you know, you're fighting for this goal for 16 years, and then when you get there, you're not even able to relish in that accomplishment. So I think taking a step back and really looking at what is obtainable for you in your life is really important.
Yeah, I'm really happy you said that about that's that aspect of collateral damage. Like, what's the cost of doing business? Like, I talk, and you mentioned it already, is like when you are 12-year-old level 10, you're going to do 10 more years of level 10 gymnastics. You know how many falls you're going to land on vault? You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. And I think that this is a bigger, like, you know, philosophical question with gymnastics. But I'm fortunate that I work with probably like half the top 20 teams I've interacted with. And every single one says, like, freshman year is like rehab mentally and physically for them to get back to loving gymnastics. And then by sophomore year, they're kind of in, kind of out. And then by junior year, they're finally back to where it is. But I've had some athletes that will come consult with us over the summer when they're off for injuries or surgeries. They've missed like 2.5 collective years of college gymnastics because of all of the snowballing injuries and surgeries they've had. And there's some terrifying statistics that gymnasts have the most high level intense surgeries before they come to NCAA versus any other sport. And they take the most narcotics out of any other, you know, 78% of gymnasts the freshman year reported taking narcotics and having at least one major injury or major surgery before they came to college, right? And everyone's like, oh, college gymnastics season is too aggressive. They're tearing their Achilles, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, maybe we like set them up to get a ticking time bomb when we got them to level, you know, level 10 when they were like 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And now your poor little ankles can't hold on. So that's a soapbox rant. But I mean, that's like the reality is like, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing to people here?
Mm-hmm. And I can say when Chelsea talked about, you know, me helping her at level 10, her senior year, after her second surgery, this one was the Achilles tear. You know, some of her folks at her club telling her that her career was over. And I remember Chelsea and I sitting at the dinner table, reflecting on kind of now, what do we do? And Chelsea deciding, you know, that based on what they've said that, you know, this is over, and me saying, it doesn't have to be, it's whatever you want it to be. Right. But I did that after watching my daughter have two surgeries. Right. So it took that for me to kind of understand the importance of my daughter's safety and happiness. And again, I thought I knew it all the time. Right. I was there. But not until, and I shared this on our routine podcast, it wasn't until she woke up from her first surgery, which was a wrist, and there was this little bitty body in this big hospital bed with a, you know, cast on that was, you know, a bigger cast than I've ever seen, for me to realize kind of what are we doing and why are we doing it, right? And so that's when I would say, again, back to, you know, bringing it full circle, if we think about those bookends and what it is we're trying to do, what's that end goal and what's that beginning goal, and understand what's going to happen through the middle. And if you can understand that, then I think the decisions you're going to make along the way are going to have a much different perspective to them than if you don't understand it at that beginning. Mm-hmm. And I wish somebody would have told us that. Chelsea and I have the conversation all the time. Would we do it again? And will Chelsea's daughter do gymnastics? We have this conversation all the time.
And?
What's the answer?
Go on.
You want to know the answer to that?
Yes.
I would not do it again. As a parent of what we went through, there's no way I would do it again. And I wouldn't have my granddaughter do it. If I had that choice, you know, my children are very strong-willed, so I don't get the chance to tell them, but I would highly recommend that they not do it.
If that doesn't say that we need desperate, groundbreaking change, what does? Chelsea, what do you think? Would you do it all over again and your daughter doing gymnastics?
That's such a tough question. I think there were so many positives from the sport that I'm using in like my 9-to-5 job. You know, my determination, my work ethic. I learned that from gymnastics, but are there other ways that I could learn those skills? Absolutely. But to answer your question, I don't think I have an answer.
To be determined.
Right, exactly. I think if I were to do it over again, I would like to do it differently. But I'm able to say that now because I'm 28 and I'm 7 years removed from the sport. So it's a hard question to answer.
Yeah. Eva, got any thoughts before we dive into our last one?
Oh, just the gut punch.
Heartbreaking.
You know,
we're about to go to practice in 20 minutes and that just changed my entire perspective. So,
yeah. And you know, Diana, I give you so much credit. It's not easy doing what you did. And I think that, you know, I wish we could clone you and, because, you know, to have that moment where you're realizing, okay, like, what does she want out of this? I think that that's just, it's so important to get to that point. And I think, you know, something that you kind of slid in there, I just want to make sure we highlight is that, you really thought you were doing the right
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
And you really thought you knew what she wanted. And,
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's not like there's any ill will. It's not like you had poor intentions for your daughter. Of course you didn't. Of
right.
course. You were just being the best kind of mama bear that you could be
That's right.
given the information that you had. And so, you know, it's powerful. This is all very powerful. And I think what you guys are doing on your podcast, which I haven't listened to yet, but I will absolutely. And what Dave has been doing, it's just like, these kinds of conversations are what we need in our gymnastics community.
Absolutely.
This right here is what's going to change the culture so that nobody ever has to say again that they wouldn't do it again if they were given the choice. Because
yep.
that's a gut punch.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking to hear.
That one hurts.
The other part of it that Eva and I have unfortunately lived through is when the athletes don't want to come back to the gym after they graduate and they have a poor experience. And then we hear about it down the road about like, no, I actually hated coming to practice, had an anxiety attack in the car. And I couldn't wait to go to college to get away from what was going on. And I was like, Jesus, yep. Well, that doesn't say we got to change something. And I hear that. I can't go into specifics, obviously, but I treat a lot of level 10s and a lot of elites. And like, they come to the clinic that we're a part of. I'm like, I just don't want to go to practice. I'm just going to hang here for like 20 minutes. I just don't want to go. I can't wait to go to college because I just want to get out of this gym. I'm just so sick of this gym. And so the last thing that I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to spend 10 minutes on it because this is by far and away the most uncomfortable part of this ending of the conversation is what's the advice that we give to people, whether they're parents, coaches, athletes, about everyone knows like there's sometimes when you have that one parent who is just very toxic to the culture and the atmosphere, or that one coach who is, you know, a little bit aggressive and is comparing athletes to each other and is definitely doing some immoral things, you know, not illegal, but they're doing the way they treat the athletes is just, you know, it is not great, right? Or, you know, you do have that one gymnast in a group who is just constantly bringing everybody down and is constantly really, really hard to deal with. The thing that I hear a lot is like working around high level gymnastics is, I go, okay, well, if you're getting treated poorly, or if you don't like that, leave the gym. You know, like it's not worth your mental health to be in a gym in an environment that's bad. They go, oh, well, like they're the best. No one else can teach these skills. How am I going to get a scholarship, right? Like, how am I going to get to that high level? Like, there's nowhere to drive to. There's nowhere to go. This is all I have to deal with it. And they tolerate just ridiculousness, right? And this is a huge gap between what safe sport thinks is going on and what's really going on. And I think sometimes these people are stuck between a rock and a hard place. So like, well, my daughter's friends are there and they want to go high level. And this is the only gym in the area that can teach that. We have no idea what to do. And so I think it's so hard, but like, I don't know, Diana, from the parent perspective is like, what would you advise to other parents that maybe don't realize they're slightly over the line, or I don't know, I don't know how to phrase it, but
yeah. I think everything we've talked about helps, whether it's a parent, coach, or gymnast, get there. Cause it's not really what the other person is or is not doing.
Mm.
It's what you decide to do about it.
Mm.
Right. So, you know, if in fact, because we've had them, right? Where the coach you don't believe is in doing the things that are in the best interest of your child, right? I'm the biggest advocate and was going into the, you know, owner of the gym and say, no, that we can't do this any longer, right? You know, if there's a parent that is the one that's, you know, poking me as, you know, Chelsea, my daughter, right? And they're, you know, those gymnastics moms are out there. It's me understanding that and being able to say to that parent, which I have, this is not something that we need to talk about. I'm watching Chelsea. You don't have to watch her. We're good, right? And I think it's having that confidence. Nobody has to be rude about it. It's just having that confidence that, you know, I'm the advocate for my daughter, and owning that and owning it in the right way and being able to articulate that in the right way, I think has to happen. And it goes back to that, all those views, being able to see it from somebody else's view, right? Being able to see it from the coach's view, from that other parent's view, from your daughter's view, from the other daughter's view. All of that becomes important. I mean, you know, and again, I'm going to be good because Chelsea told me I need to be good, but, you know, our gym was really famous for, you know, I have a diverse daughter, right? She looks like me. But, you know, we were really big. There were really big cliques in our gym that some people would be invited to the birthday party and others wouldn't be invited to the birthday party, right? So there's a lot that we're kind of dealing with that's my job as a parent to help my daughter grow up and understand what we're doing and what we're seeing and what's important and what's not. So there's a whole, there are life lessons that are occurring every single day in the gym that, you know, as her mother, I'm trying to help her understand. So I just think everything we've talked about today becomes a part of that understanding and education. And back to, we're going to do the best that we can do, right? As the mother, we're going to handle that the best we can, and know that we're going to make some mistakes. And there's no doubt that I've made mistakes and how we went through this experience. And hoping I have a daughter like Chelsea who forgives me for that and understands me for that. And guess what? We're doing it today, right? It's not like once she graduated from college, she wasn't my daughter anymore. We weren't, right? We do it every day. Our conversations are that every day. That's the relationship that we have. And that's really what you're after, right? You're after having this beautiful, healthy, incredible daughter. And that's the goal that we're doing every single day.
Yep. So well said. And Eva, I really want people to be able to gain your wisdom here. I have watched you successfully, it's hard, but successfully deal with each one of these prongs, whether we have maybe a gymnast who is really bringing the group in a sideways direction, or a parent who's really, you know, kicking your door and is saying this, or we've had a lot of coaches who we change our culture and they're not on board, and we have to have a hard conversation about, like, maybe this isn't a great fit for you, or like, maybe we should move on. Or we've unfortunately cycled through a lot of different coaches, parents, and gymnasts that we had to say, like, we'll help you find a new gym, but this is not working out. So I really would love to hear your thoughts on this tough topic.
Yeah, it's certainly a tough topic. And I think that, again, it all comes back to your own moral compass, the moral compass of your program, and the core values that you stand by, your mission statement. Return to these core foundational pieces when you have these tough decisions to make. And it helps you have these tough conversations too, because you can say to a gymnast or a parent that's really not a great fit for your program because of their behavior or whatever else, that these are our core values. We prioritize care, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Over the past however long, unfortunately, you and or your daughter or whoever we're talking about is not showing us that you're in line with these core values. And it's just simply not acceptable here in this program. These are the things we stand by, and we hold everyone accountable to these values. And unfortunately, you know, your gymnast, like, we've tried this, we've tried this, we've tried this, we've tried this, you know, like, go down the list of things you've tried. But unfortunately, it just seems like this program is not the best fit for you. And that's okay. There are plenty of programs in the area. I actually have a list of gyms here. I'm happy, you know, I have some connections in the game. I'm happy to call and get you, you know, connected with another program that might fit your needs. But unfortunately, it seems like we can't serve your needs. Or unfortunately, it seems like we're not the best program for you. It looks like your goals are different than our goals here. And so we would like to suggest another program that's maybe better aligned with your goals and your daughter's goals. Or if it's really bad, you just invite them to never return. I would like to invite you to never return to this facility, to our space, because this is unacceptable. And it's my job as the leader of this program to protect my staff and to protect my gymnasts. And so we're going to have to ask that you leave. And, you know, this is why we have handbooks. This is why we have policy. This is why it's written down and communicated ahead of time.
Yep.
So that you can come back to it when there are violations of your policies, of the things written in your handbook. I can't tell you how many times I have pulled up a specific page. You and your daughter just violated 6 policies on page 17 of our handbook. Here it is, in case you were, you know, questioning, or here's your handbook signature. Like, remind them what they committed to and help them understand why, like, it wasn't acceptable at the beginning of the season. We talked to you about it, and it's still not acceptable. And so it's my job to really protect everyone here. And so for that reason, we're going to have to ask that you go. But you have to be prepared for that conversation before you know it exists.
Yep.
By writing your handbooks, ensuring that your staff are on board with them, get parents involved in that process if you don't already have a handbook. Get some parents that you trust involved in the process of doing that. Get them to vet it so that you're getting perspectives from all over, and really stand behind it, because it will serve you when you have to have these tough conversations. Even if you're not kicking someone out of the gym, even if it's just a reminder, like maybe you have to give somebody a warning or you have to write them up. It's like, you know, you can always go back to the fact that we talked about this. We talked about how this is how our gym operates, and you're simply not falling in line. So I can't let you do that because it's not okay. And because, like, everybody else is acting appropriately. So what? I'm not going to just let you go crazy and act however you're acting, because what kind of precedent does that set? You know, there's something that's really important is the consistency, and ensuring that you're consistently holding people accountable for their actions. It is the most important job of of your leader. Like, your leader has to hold their people accountable for their actions. And everybody else is watching. That's the thing. The one person that's acting up is not the person that's affected by the consequence. It's everybody else that was doing what they were supposed to be doing that is reminded that they should continue to do what they're supposed to be doing because they just watched this girl receive whatever consequence it is, or this girl just got kicked off the team because she did not put energy into doing the right thing. So hard conversations, 100% worth having. And I am happy to, I'm always happy to help with the little sound bites that, you know, are sometimes helpful for people going into these tough conversations.
Yeah, that concept that's so important is that idea of universal code of conduct. We all operate by the same things. All the kids have the same stoplight system to move up in level, and we all have the same policies around competing. All the parents have the same behavioral conduct expectations at the meet. All the coaches should be acting the same way at and after meets, right? Like, we all should be operating under the same standards. And like you said, Eva, a leader has to accept that burden, so nobody else has to have it, of holding people accountable when that happens. And I'd love to just finish with Chelsea with your point of view, because I know we've talked about in the last podcast that you guys were part of a situation where you were very unhappy with maybe some of the coaching style going on, and you guys had some really hard conversations. And I know as a gymnast, it's really hard. You don't want to be that person who speaks up and says something because that everyone's talking about you, and your parents are talking to each other. Now your friends are all kind of like looking at you, and you don't want to be the odd one out. So, like, not that we're gonna have gymnasts listening to this episode, but I want parents and coaches to really understand the pressure that a young gymnast feels when they know something is not like their parent is acting a certain way or the coach is acting a certain way, and it's not okay, and how hard that is on the gymnast.
Absolutely. I think it's just that, you know, I wish I knew how important my voice was when I was in club. You know, it's so important for gymnasts to see that coaches and parents and gymnasts are all on the same team. We're all working together. And I think that that goes a long way. And when your parent is mad at your coach or your coach is mad at your parent, the gymnast feels that. And that negatively affects your gymnastics. So I think if there's a way that all of these three entities can work together, I think it's for the greater good of the gymnast.
Yep. Very well said. And my parting advice is a lot of the root of these parent conflicts, coaching conflicts, or issues come when you compare gymnasts to each other. And I really think you should realize that every gymnast is an individual. And yes, maybe there are some common skills they want to get, and but everybody's going to move at a different level, different strengths, different weaknesses, different problems, different stuff. And so, you know, as Diana said, you shouldn't be comparing, you know, one gymnast to another. Coaches should not be either playing favorites or saying you should be more like this person, look at this person's skills. And also gymnasts themselves should really try hard to not compare themselves to each other, because when you start to mix and think, you know, apples or oranges, it starts to become a huge problem. We're like, well, why didn't she move up, or why is she getting this score and this and that? And why can't you be more like that person? And the big takeaway I think we all have is the communication is important, but there's the unconditional support of the athlete based on their role and is what we need to get out of this. And so from there, you can move forward. But that is all I think we should cover now. I think we could go.
Wow, that was a lot.
We climbed the mountain of discomfort and have covered some of the conversation. So,
and we fixed the world's problems.
I think you did. I think you did. But no, I'm very grateful for all of you guys' input and your thoughts and your wisdom. I think we have a lot of really important information that I think can get passed around the gymnastics community and just start some conversations about, you know, this really hard area of the sport. So thank you guys so much, Diana, Chelsea, and Eva. I have no doubt that this will be another fan favorite, but we will edit this and put it together. And hopefully in a few weeks, you guys can hear some great feedback.
Sure. And Dave, absolutely anytime. Absolutely. Anytime you want to talk to us, you know, obviously we love sharing, right? If we can help people start the sport in a different way, or, in a more comprehensive understanding way, or continue the sport in a more comprehensive understanding way, that's what we want to do.
Learn from our mistakes.
Absolutely.
It's all so right. Great to meet you both.
Thank you, Eva. You so too. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to that episode. I hope that you really enjoyed it and got a lot of value out of it. I just want to let you know before we sign off here that a couple things we'd love you to do. So one is please just make sure that you rate and review the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher, wherever you're listening, because that really does help the episode grow quite a bit. And then second, if you really enjoyed this episode, we would love if you left us a review as well and told us what you liked about it. You know, what information was useful, what things were not useful, would you like to know more about, what guests do you want to have on in the future? And then also as you kind of go about your day, if you found something really useful, just toss it up on social media. We love to hear from people on Instagram or Twitter or, you know, all the different websites that they're using for social media. Facebook is great too. But yeah, let us know what you like, because honestly, the podcast comes from people who just tell us what they're finding useful. And that's how we create the next set of content. So yeah, tag us in the podcast or tag us online, whatever you're doing, and let us know what you think. Thanks.